This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And thank you for being with us on the Vedic Wisdom. I want to touch on a subject now that's pretty tricky. You have conversations with people, and if you run into an atheist, and the conversation comes and goes and comes and goes about different points of belief and faith, knowledge, wisdom of God, the Lord's supremacy over everything, especially us as living entities, versus the atheist point of view. It's only nature, it's my own strength. Everything I do and think is my own. No one created me. I'm completely free to do whatever I want. You get to the point, and this happens repeatedly. I'm sure it's happened in a conversation you've had somewhere at some point. They say, well, okay, so you say God made this and he made that and the Lord controls and he owns and he created and he's master of all this different stuff. But who created God? Tell me. If you can't tell me who created God, then I don't believe anything you have to say. Now, this is the atheistic mentality. And yet, this question is covered in the Vedic literature. All questions are answered in the Vedic literature. All. At any level. It doesn't matter. All the way up to this question. Who created God? Well, we have to look to answer that question. We have to get a structured perspective of it so that we can give an honest answer. And that perspective is, if someone is not independent, they're created. Okay? If someone is totally independent, they're not created. They are the creator. So we have that situation where we can see how the whole material manifestation was created by a superior force. There's nobody here can do it, nobody ever could or will. So we understand that the universe has, according to Vedic literature, it has a managerial structure from the bottom to the top of the universe in all the various planets, in all the various species of life. There's a management system. Just like a king has the minister of post office, the minister of prisons, the minister of taxation, the minister of health, the minister of sailing, whatever it might be, travel. And they all work under the guidance of the king. And the king is the end or absolute authority. And everyone else is subordinate. They have to carry out their jobs, but they don't have unlimited power or limited independence. But they're superior to and independent from the lower people, the lesser, the individuals. So we see that this material manifestation has a structure. It's being run by nature as well as by the administrative structure called demigods. And we learn from Vedic literature that there are millions of universes, like the one we're in, that all have the same internal structures. So all the universes are coming from a greater source yet. So everything in a universe, whichever one you choose to analyze, everything and everyone in a universe is subject to the creation of the universe. So nobody here, in that sense, is on the absolute platform, absolute independence. Not there. Nobody has it. So if we go further and we say, well, someone made all the universes, and we know that there's spiritual world and there's material world, we're just talking about the material world universes, and so there's even another creation besides that that's greater and bigger, etc. Well, wait a minute, this creator who is independent and is able to create that as well as create all of these material universes and everything in our individual universe, That being is absolute. That's everybody under that is created. Everything under that person is created. Now, the Vedic literature goes on and addresses. It states that the supreme absolute personality of Godhead is absolutely independent of anything. And it states in the Bhagavad Gita as it is that neither the demigods nor the great saints and sages actually know the origin of the supreme personality of Godhead. For in every respect, he is the source of the demigods and the sages, and he is the source of all material ingredients and all independent living entities who are manifest within material nature. So Krishna says in the he is the origin of the powers that are delegated to the demigods, to the great saints and sages, and to the mystics. And although they are endowed with great powers, it's very difficult for even them to know the supreme absolute truth, Krishna himself, personality of Godhead. He appears by his own potency in any form he chooses, particularly he appears in the form of a man. So all the philosophers, the great saints and sages and mystics that try to distinguish the absolute truth from the reality they're experiencing with their mental capacity, small mental capacity, they can only reach a small portion, a point of graduation, a gradual point of analysis that is still restricted to within their realm of experience. So we learn here that the Lord is not created. He's not subject to the creation process. He is the source of all of the created manifestations. This is why he's called absolute. There is no need for him to be created. He exists. And it is so far above, so far beyond, so completely absolute that it would make no difference whatsoever as to how or what or when or whatever he came into existence. Is it completely so far removed and remote from you or I that that knowledge or lack of that knowledge won't have any influence or benefit upon the living entity? It won't affect, benefit, help, or criticize or collapse anyone's knowledge to know or not know the answer to that. But the Lord says that no one knows me in every respect. No one. Because everyone is subordinate, less than. You can't understand the greater person. And he is so absolutely, astonishingly, magnificently, ultimately good and independent and potent that to understand that alone is enough. Because it puts you and I and everything else in a subordinate position. And that's what's important to know. If you understand that you are subordinate, you should be thankful for what you have. The consciousness, the feelings, the independence, the motivation and drive, the ability to speak and see, the variety of blessings that you have, along with all the facilities that are provided here, and the infrastructure and the administrative structure that keeps this manifestation firmly manifest and keeps this manifestation under a semblance of control and managerial stability, that you should actually not be worrying about the source of God, as opposed to being humbled by the compassion and the kindness of God. Because you can't make all these facilities that you're taking for granted and you feel that you need or you feel that you deserve independently. You can only use what is provided here for you to manipulate with your mind or your hands or your eyes or your whatever. But you don't create the ingredients that make this material manifestation. So rather than caring where they came from, you should acknowledge they're here. They were created. Those resources are here, and you can manipulate them. And you do get the results of what you do, good and bad, fair. So this sets up a position, it sets up a state, it sets up a variety of experiences and activities that you should be grateful for. Not atheistically denying, because you can't deny that the things are here. Your bottom is on a chair. You have, it is supporting you. You have a body with a voice and ears and eyes. You have these facilities. They're here. They're tangible. Somebody had the foresight to design and create and provide and deliver to you. And under the laws of nature, everything is born from the mother and grows and manifests and produces byproducts. Gradually diminishes and dwindles and then dies of exhaustion. It's finished, done. It's the cycle of those things created by nature. But you, the conscious living being, you move on to another birth, another cycle. So this gift of life, gift of freedom, gift of knowledge that's being given to you, and gift of ingredients for you to use, to support, to provide, to encourage, to educate, they are being provided, all of this is being provided by someone far more potent, absolutely potent, than any of us are, or will ever be. And this stated here, even that much more potent than all of the universal administrators or demigods, the great realized persons of saints and sages, those who have studied the Vedic knowledge, those that have researched the origins of everything, none of them can know the absolute personality of Godhead clearly and completely. Not possible, remotely possible. So for the atheist, the challenge is simply mental concoction. He's simply ungrateful. And he uses denial so that he can live with himself for not being grateful. So this type of person, they will find out sooner or later that they're limited. Death will come. Nobody wants to die, but death comes. Nobody lives forever. Everybody is in a temporary body, and the bodies die. You and I, the eternal living entities, we move on. But nobody's bodily condition of life exists permanently. Nobody. So, in this particular lifetime, in this particular body, the atheist will deny any responsibility. He doesn't want to have to be grateful. He doesn't want to have to do anything other than selfishness. He's not matured up to the platform of selflessness. He does not come to the platform of loving devotional service. He doesn't even understand it exists because he's denying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worthy of receiving devotional service, is even there. So the Vedic literature says this kind of a person, they don't grow. They have a human form of life for a period and they fall into the lower species of life because they denied the opportunity. They denied their true position. They denied the reality of the relationship between the supremely, absolutely potent personality of Godhead and themselves, or you and I, as limited individual living entities with minute freedoms, but in general, totally dependent beings who require all these ingredients from the body and the material manifestation for their own survival, subsistence, happiness, and expression. So don't be like this atheistic concept. Don't be an atheist. Don't think that if I deny it, it makes it go away. Don't think that I have no duty. I have no responsibility. I don't need to be grateful. Now, it's impossible for an intelligent person, an honest person, to accept that you don't need to be grateful for the gift of the body, for the gift of the manifestation, the place, for the gift of the consciousness and awareness, for the gift of the strength and facilities to maneuver and manipulate and express and experience. It takes a very odd person not to be grateful. So we have to give thanks. There's only one person that's worthy of being thanked, worshipped, eulogized, respected, and that is He who owns everything, He who creates everything, He who sustains everything, He who provides everything that you require. How can you not be humbled, respectful, render some service, see to their pleasure, see to their happiness? How can you not do that? Only out of blind selfishness. Denial. Arrogance. Deception. And none of these are good qualities in man. None of these provide upliftment and intelligence. None of these provide fulfillment and heartfelt gratitude. None of these provide awareness, satisfaction. So we can see very simply that we simply need to be grateful. And we need to understand our limited position. And we need to recognize our limited qualities and capabilities. And we need to give thanks. It does not matter. From that point of view, it does not matter how God came into being, how God was started being manifesting living entities, how God created the manifestations. It doesn't matter from that point of view. You've got it. The body, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the manifestation, the food, the air, the water, the ground, it's all here. You got it. It's come. You have it. You are involved in it. You are submerged in it. You are manipulating it constantly. It is yours. Gift to you. That's like they say, what's that? Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. If you're being given something very, very, very wonderful, don't start harassing the person that gave it to you. Be grateful. So we have a section of society that is propagating, don't be grateful. Be selfish. Take, grab, get, more, steal, have, take. More and more and more and more and more. More than you need, more than you deserve. Waste whatever you want to waste. You don't fix anything, you throw it away. Get another one. This type of mentality takes a person out of gratefulness into arrogance. And who likes an arrogant person? Everyone's put off. Well, what do you think the Supreme Lord thinks about the arrogant person when the Lord has provided everything to him and to you and me? If he provides everything to you and to the atheist, and you are grateful, and you show your gratefulness, you learn what the Lord's plan is, you cooperate with the Lord's plan, you harmonize with the plan, and you contribute to the plan, versus someone who denies it, refuses to, turns a back, lives with selfishness, wastefulness, arrogance, deceit, deception. Which one of those do you think the Lord is going to acknowledge? Which one is the Lord going to care for, protect, see to, as opposed to let them go their own way and fall into the hands and control of nature and get what they deserve? They deserve that they get it, good and bad. But the person who is striving to raise above these good and bad concept and show his gratitude and render service to the Lord's plan, he is in a different category. He's out of the category of good and bad. He's now in the category of transcendence. He's above the good and bad platform. He's engaged in the Lord's plan. That is beyond this material manifestation, because the Lord is beyond the material manifestation. And everything in association and in cooperation with the Lord is above it all. So, we have to take the humble position because we are in a minute situation. We are limited in our powers and potencies. We are dependent upon the manifestation for our freedoms, independence, and experiences, etc. So don't be an arrogant sod. Don't try to deny your responsibility. Don't deny the existence of God. Don't deny you will be held responsible for your work. Try to accept these as guidelines. It's like the rubber things around the outside of a bumper car. You can make a mistake, yes, but you can bounce. There's a protection ring. You can bounce off of things until you get going the right direction again. So go on with your life in a progressive mood, trying to understand the Lord's plan and bounce off of these things. The Lord will give you support. He will protect you. Don't be the atheistic, rebellious, arrogant, selfish person, because we got a world full of them now. It's a disease. Selfishness is a disease that is being propagated by the media. Whether it's movies or television or radios or all sorts of other things, YouTube, it's all propagating selfishness, bodily conception of life, as opposed to selfless service under the Lord's plan. So you don't need to know absolutely about everything to do with the Lord. You just need to know that He's by nature benevolent and kind and supportive and fully aware of everything you think, do, say, and act. And then you can harmonize, you can dovetail, coordinate your activities and your desires with the will of the Lord. That is the higher conception.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.